This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Carl Lacey is back to lead the Donegal GAA Academy 2 years after leaving the role because of a lack of support. It's All-Ireland final week for St Clair's Comprehensive School in Manor Hamilton. It's the opening night of the European Indoor Athletics Championships in the Netherlands. And there's just no stopping Sligo Grammar School when it comes to Schools Cup Rugby. Another Connacht Senior A final beckons after today's big semi-final win in Ballinasloe. We'll get the grammar lowdown with Coach Will McCauley later in the programme. Welcome to the final whistle. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address and you'll get us on X at Ocean FM Sport. Also coming up, we'll hear from Carrick Athletic Club's Gerard O'Donnell, who last month was named as coach to the Ireland 4x400 metres men's, women's and mixed relay squad. He'll have a big interest in tonight's mixed relay final in Amsterdam, which is happening this hour, the opening night of the European Indoor Athletics Championships. And right now on my monitor here in studio, I'm watching Sarah Lavin for Ireland begin her heat of the women's 60 metre hurdles. And there's been a false start at the end of her heat, so they'll go back and start again. This is heat 4 of the first round heats in the 60 metre hurdles. And Sarah Lavin and her fellow competitors called back for a false start in lane number 4, I think it was. So we will see what the outcome of that is in a short while. Also coming up, Sligo Rovers set piece coach is a Canadian. Remember, Rovers beat Shamrock Rovers on Monday night from a set piece. Jesse Atchison will share some insight into what it is he does for John Russell at the showgrounds. We begin though with the European Indoor Athletics Championships, which began just over an hour ago in the Netherlands. Cathal Doyle was the first Irish athlete in action. He finished ninth in his 1500 metres heat behind the winner Jakob Ingebrigtsen. It didn't go well for Doyle at all. He is out. Sarah Lavin about to run now in her sprint hurdles heat round 1, and we have the 4x400 metres mixed relay team going in the final tonight at 10 to 9 Irish time. In the European final. No Chris O'Donnell on the Ireland team this time around. He is skipping the indoor season, it would appear. Didn't compete in the Irish indoors a couple of weekends ago, and he's not part of the Ireland team in the Netherlands. Lauren Cadden certainly is, although the expectation is that Charlene Maudsley and Phil Healy will be the two female runners in the mixed relay final tonight for Ireland. Sarah Lavin has just won her 60 metres hurdle round 1 heat from lane 7. So the Irish sprint hurdler starting really well in the Netherlands. After a false start, she has come through really well, really strongly to win her round 1 heat. And Sarah Lavin from Limerick safely through to tomorrow's semi-finals of the women's 60 metres hurdles. More on that to come. Let's look ahead to all the other Irish prospects, including those of Sligo's Lauren Cadden and Donegal's Mark English over the next 48 hours. Both go in their first round heats of the 400 metres and 800 metres individual events tomorrow morning. And we've been looking ahead to those disciplines and the other Irish potential medal contenders with former Ireland Olympian Breach Connolly, who joined us earlier to look through what looks like an exciting Ireland team.
It's coming at the right time for, I guess, there are a couple of athletes in particular, Sarah Healy, Andrew, Mark English, and who else, Cian McPhillips. They all had really strong campaigns already this year in the States. Built up nicely. Some of them did their national championships, others didn't, but they're going in ranked really highly. So we would be talking within ourselves to be hopeful of medals for any of them.
Now, as we're broadcasting this interview, the indoors are underway in the Netherlands, and coming up in a short while, the final of the 4x400 meters mixed relay, which is a straight final, and Ireland are in there, maybe with not quite their strongest team, but have they a medal chance in your mind?
We definitely have a medal chance, yeah. I think to have that chance, we do need Charlene to run. So I think the team would need to be, well, obviously it would be Marcus.
This is Charlene Maudsley, you're saying, needs to
correct.
Be in
that yeah,
term.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, if we're talking about a medal. So Marcus Lawler, Conor Kelly, Charlene, and then Phil Healy, I would imagine we would need those four. And yes, it's a spanking new team in the absence of the stalwart. Some are through injury sitting out the season, or in the case of Tom Barr, retired. And obviously, Rashid is focusing on the outdoor campaign this year.
A lot of Sligo athletes might be wondering, where is Chris O'Donnell? He has opted to sit out the indoor season.
I believe so, yeah. I don't have too much intel on Chris, but I haven't seen him doing any indoors, and he didn't do nationals. So he obviously has his own reasons, and it can be a really niggly time of year for a lot of these athletes as well.
Well, the Ireland mixed relay quartets have reached a lot of finals or semi-finals at recent major championships. So there is going to be interest in how they get on tonight.
Oh, yeah. Like even Austin, when you and I started this way back during COVID times, you know, I probably would have been, wouldn't have rated us to do so well. And now we're one of the teams that are, you know, we threaten when we go, I think we're going to be one of the quickest PDs, you know, on paper. So, yes, definitely we're a team that are holding our own.
A word on Sligo Athletic Club's Lauren Cadden, who is part of the mixed relay squad, although it's unlikely she'll run if Charlene Maudsley and Phil Healy are there and available later. But for the first time, she will run in the women's individual 400 metres, the heats of which are tomorrow morning. This is a big moment for Lauren Cadden.
Oh, it's a great moment, yeah. A great moment for Lauren and her, I guess, her first coach, Dermot McDermott. So it's her first individual international vest. So I'm sure Lauren is both excited and nervous for that. And she made it through. So Lauren would have made it through the ranking system. So kind of goes to show you how invaluable that system is as well. And the experience that Lauren will gain, you know, doing the individual event as opposed to, you know, relying on the team. So I'm sure she's really looking forward to tomorrow's race.
And she was very well placed in the final of the Irish Indoors recently and then stepped off the track during the final when placed. Well, you know, would that sort of thing unsettle her in any way going into a championships like this?
I guess you have to put a pine, Justin. Do you know, it's like every race, like as someone said, the coach of the high jumper, you start all over again. It's never nice that it happens and where it happened. And she did look to be going really well. Now, I didn't see what happened off camera. So, but that's the indoor track as well. They're really tight. Like I've even read some articles today on the track in Amsterdam, and it seems to be particularly tight. The finish line is at a different point. So they reckon, you know, if you haven't made the break by the corner, then almost she could be out of the race. So it will be interesting to see how this pans out over the next 4 days. But hopefully Lauren has put that behind her. She's got great coaches as well now as well, you know, who would have talked her down. So I'm sure she's ready for the new task ahead tomorrow.
You mentioned how tight the track in the Netherlands is for these championships. Is that likely to favour any particular athlete on the Ireland team in your mind, or maybe hinder one or two others?
See, I don't actually know, because I don't know those tracks. I've never ran on an indoor track, so I don't know too much about the bend. But I guess if the final straight is as short as they're saying that it is, you know, someone with a kick finish, they have less time, you know, to engage that kick, or someone who can kick from further out. So I don't know what way it could go. We don't have too many. Like Kim McPhillips is the tallest of our athletes, I think, him and Mark maybe. So apart from that, I think everybody should probably be okay.
Well, you've mentioned the two men who'll be competing in the heats of the men's 800 metres tomorrow morning. Mark English, who improved his own Irish indoor 800 metres record already in the early part of this year. He's a four-time Euro indoors medalist. He will have his eye on another big championship this weekend.
100%, yeah. Like Mark is, he's accustomed to getting medals, I suppose, at the indoors. This wouldn't be his first. He's got so much experience. He's recently changed coaching setup, so I'm sure he's going in with a new hunger as well. So Mark will definitely be eyeing up. And then I think the nice thing for Cian, not that Cian, I wouldn't, you know, call him an underdog, but he's probably, if of the two of them, he would be the underdog, but he's such a strong underdog. Because when you think, if Mark hadn't broken his record, his own record, Cian would have done it. So they're both flying fit. So it'll be great to see. And it is great to see Cian back running so well, because he had, you know, a couple of years there where he was out through injury and whatnot.
So a genuine prospect there of two Irish athletes making the 800 metres final?
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. Now, that's like, yes, they absolutely have to get through the heat and the semi, and there can be complete carnage, as we know, on the indoor track with those tight bends and whatnot. But yeah, we definitely, I don't think it's been super, you know, ambitious, hoping for two of them to get there.
Now, I want to talk about a man you've always championed on this station in recent years, Breege, and that's Andrew Coscarin, who runs in the men's 3,000 metres. He recently broke one of Eamon Coughlin's long-standing indoor records in the US, so he is flying at the moment.
He is flying, yeah. And it is great to see him back, because I think his Olympics would have been somewhat of a disappointment for him. And maybe down, he just trained so hard last year, so he seems to be back with a really good energy to him. And an interesting story I heard about Andrew, apparently he was having a conversation with a group of athletes, and they were talking about, you know, the toughest race they ever ran, and he gave it to the Tubbercurry 10K. So he holds the course record for that one as well. But he's going in ranked third to this race. Andrew himself will know it's a real chance. You know, he's made a conscious decision to focus on the 3,000 metres and not the 1,500. So, yeah, everything crossed for him.
Well, that's interesting that he rates the Tubbercurry 10K as one of the toughest races he's ever navigated. I'm sure they'll be delighted to hear that down in South Sligo. He's in the men's 3,000. His round one is on Saturday morning at 9:45 Irish time. And we have a bit of strength in these distance races, because if we're going to talk about Andrew Coscarin in the men's 3,000, what about Sarah Healy in the women's 3,000? She, of course, broke Mary Cullen's long-standing record for this distance indoors last year and has improved it again, I think, in recent weeks. And she's another athlete who really seems to be close to the peak of her powers right now.
Yes, well, I hope not close, Austin. I hope Sarah's got another few years, because she's still so young. But yeah, she did break Mary's record. And like, that record was so hard. I think people do not appreciate how good that record was. Mary set it. I'm not going to go on, but Mary did set that record, you know, outside of all of the technological advancements that we have right now. So, you know, it took Kira tried to break that so many times. So Sarah did it. I think she did it twice, actually, when she was stateside, once in Boston, and then again a week later when she was in the full of her health at the Melrose Games. So, yeah, we're definitely seeing Sarah in the best form we have seen her so far. And she's in there. She'll be racing in the race with her training partner, Georgia Bell. So, fingers crossed, you know, well, I'm not sure will they work together or what the plan would be, but it would be wonderful to see her getting right up there on the podium.
And just other races for locals to look out for. The women's 4x400 metres relay is going to be a straight final. It'll be the last event of the championships on Sunday evening at 10:50. Lauren Cadden conceivably might be part of the quartet for that race for Ireland. If I had to put your head on the chopping block then, Breege Conley, in terms of the best medal prospects over the coming 4 days for Ireland, if you had to single out a couple of names, who do you go for right now?
I will go for Andrew.
In the men's 3,000 metres.
Yeah, Andrew in the men's 3,000. The men's 800, I don't want to call it. Could be Cian, I don't know. Mark, hopefully, yeah, either of them. I still think, yeah, Sarah Healy. I think if Sarah is able to navigate, you know, and run with the confidence that she ran with in the States, for sure, I think we could see Sarah going really well as well. And the women's 4x4. I think the women's 4x4, there's definitely a chance there as well.
Okay. And these challenges finally, Bridge, will set a tone for the year ahead for Ireland, won't they?
Yeah, like it's a great confidence builder, you know, to come out top in Europe. It's not to be sniffed at. There's a lot of work gone into this. And then I guess it's, you know, you use it then and bounce on to the rest of your season. I don't know what the athletes will do in terms of the World Indoors, which take place, I think, even at the end of this month, they are in China. So I suppose that might help determine what athletes decide to go on there, because a lot of them will have qualifying standards as well.
Bridge Connolly, former Ireland Olympian, speaking to the Final Whistle earlier about the European Indoors, which have started this evening. And Sarah Lavin is through to her semi-final of the women's 60-metre hurdles, winning her first round heat a short time ago. The 4x400 mixed relay final, it's a straight final, no heat, and Ireland are one of six countries in there. It's due off at 10 to 9. If we can, we'll try and bring you the result of that final before we finish here this evening. Well, let's hear from the coach to the Ireland men's 4x400, women's 4x400 and mixed relay 4x400 relay squads. He's a Leitrim man, Carrick Athletic Club's Gerard O'Donnell, well-known sprint hurdler for so long. He's been working with the relay squads at last year's Paris Olympics, the World Relays and other major international meets. Last month he was named by Athletics Ireland as coach to the main men's and women's and mixed international squads. And I spoke to Gerard at the recent Leitrim Sports Star Awards, where Gerard was awarded Coach of the Year for 2024.
To get asked to coach the European champions in the women's 4x4 and the mixed relay, and then the women's team who were fourth at the Olympics, I suppose that's an honour in the first place, and obviously I'm going to relish the challenge. So last year I ended up doing a lot of work with them because I coached a lot of athletes on the teams anyway, and then with logistics and sicknesses and all sorts on the way to camps, I ended up being there and drafted in as coach. So I got to learn the ropes the quick and hard way out there, and I suppose they saw what I could do for them in terms of a favour last year, and now it'd be a formal role for 2025. So it's an exciting challenge.
Well, clearly something worked. This is not a big jump for you, because you have been doing more and more coaching work alongside your own sprint commitments. So is it a natural progression?
Yeah, like I remember a number of years ago I started training as a physical therapist because I thought I wanted to stay in sport for a long time, but I definitely didn't want to coach. And then fast forward to around 2019-20, I started coaching alongside my own training with the group that I still coach now. And then I suppose in the last number of years, I realised how much more talent some of these people have than I ever had. And it's great that I can try and give them some of my life lessons along the way. And obviously I've picked up a lot of tips from coaches I've worked with in the past as well, which has helped me. But, you know, coaching has taken priority. Definitely last year I went full-time coaching and, you know, was in Paris, was in Bahamas for the World Relays to qualify for Paris. And I still managed to get back and win a national title myself, which was a surprise to me as well as everyone else.
Getting better with age, George.
That's it, a fine wine, as I say, but I was very much a part-time athlete, but I managed to stay injury-free because I was training so little, I suppose. But I obviously wasn't running as fast as normal, but, you know, I ran a race early in the season and it was quicker than anybody else had run all year. So I said, I better enter the nationals because, you know, if you're the fastest, you might as well run and come out on top. So that was a nice way to cap the year as well. Yeah.
The profile of 4x400 metres relay running has increased exponentially in Ireland. So, to greater or lesser extent, you're going to be working with the likes of Rashida Adeleke, Donegal's Kelly McGrory, maybe Sligo's Chris O'Donnell, and so on and so forth, Charlie Maudsley. What will your role be? I mean, how much one-on-one contact? Is it a different dynamic because you're working with the team?
Yeah, so it's akin to, I suppose, an international soccer team, say, where you get to see them basically for short periods, but it's the most intense period you're going to ever have to deal with because it is the pinnacle, is where you are the boss, essentially. But, you know, the day-to-day training, say, for someone like Chris, he's based in the UK, so I don't interfere with his, you know, day-to-day training, but I do need to know what he's up to. He'll send us his race plans because he needs to post times, qualify for the teams, and we need to, you know, we want to give him as best as we can to make sure he's ready for for the relay with us, and the same for Kelly and the likes. So it's more of a case of, you know, you're a coordinator for most of the year, but then when it comes to the crunch time, we'll be heading to China in the end of April for camp before the World Relays. So once we get to the airport, I'm afraid I'll have to babysit from then on. So, yeah. But it's a great challenge. And with those athletes you mentioned, like Kelly was in my training group a couple of years ago, and like I've been on teams with Chris, with Rashida, with Charlene as an athlete. So I have a good rapport with them all through the years, and hopefully they have a good rapport with me. It's not just one way, and yeah, it worked well last year, and I think they respected me as a coach now, as well as when I'm on the other side of the fence. So no, it's really exciting. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Will you finally continue to race, or do you step all that down now?
Well, look, the coaching takes priority, like I did last year as well. If I get a chance to train, I'll train, but it's generally like I'll go to the track, but like maybe I'll get a bit done before, and I won't. I definitely won't get a bit done after, because the session will last an extra hour, and it's never okay. I can't be resentful of the athletes, because as I said, they're the ones that are doing the business now. I'm trying to steer them in the right direction, and that's where the, for me now, I get more satisfaction out of seeing these phenomenal athletes do so well, and if I can be a help to that, then that's what gives me, you know, my pat on the back rather than individual. But look, I won't rule it out. If I manage to get a bit of time to train in the summer, then, you know, I'm still fitting in the suit I wore last year, so that's a good sign to start anyway, and we'll see where we go.
Gerard O'Donnell from Carrick Athletic Club, who is coach to the Ireland men's, women's and mixed 4x400 metres relay squads for the 2025 season. And he'll have a big interest in how the mixed relay indoor final goes in the next 25 minutes or so. It's due off at about 10 to 9 Irish time in the Netherlands, Ireland in that six-team final as they run for a medal. And Charlene Maudsley and Phil Healy expected to lead that team out, along with Marcus Brennan. Chris O'Donnell, as we mentioned, not part of the Ireland team at the European Indoors. He's sitting out the indoor season, it would appear, focusing instead on his outdoor season in 2025. We'll get back to the relay hopefully before we finish and bring you news of how that goes a little later in the programme. When we come back, Sligo Grammar School's rugby team are through to another Senior A Schools Cup final in Connacht. We'll bring you some detail on that. Plus, the Sligo Rovers manager, John Russell, on that win over Shamrock Rovers on Monday night, and tomorrow night's trip to Cork. That's next.
Ocean FM.
The All-Ireland Colleges Football Final. St. Clair's Comprehensive School Manor Hamilton against Ennis Diamond of Clare in the All-Ireland Senior C Decider. It's live this Saturday on Ocean FM from Tuam Stadium. Throw in 1 o'clock.
Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Yeah, big Saturday ahead for Shane Ward, Ed McBarron and the St. Clair's Comprehensive Senior Gaelic Footballers. They go for All-Ireland Glory in Tuam. We'll bring you that match live from 1 o'clock this Saturday with commentary from Martin McGowan and John Lynch. We've also got commentary tomorrow night from Turner's Cross in Cork. Sligo Rovers heading down to Cork to take on Cork City in the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division. And they're hoping that Friday night will be almost as good as Monday night was.
McElroy have all gone forward, ball into the box, right footed from Doyle Hayes. And
oh, yeah, there. It
chance,
has to
maybe
be.
Chance. Oh. Is it Elding? No, it's cleared away. Only Travis.
Yes.
It's back in the net.
Yes.
Sligo Rovers. And it's in. And is it Reese Hutchinson has found the back of the net for Sligo Rovers? There is 37 minutes gone here at the showgrounds. Sligo Rovers won. Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I thought we missed a chance. I don't know who won. Somebody, I think it might have been Kavanagh, won a header at the back post. And it was a great ball back in. And somebody miskicked it in front of the goals. But in fairness to Hutchinson, that's a great finish. And no more than Sligo reserve in the last 10 minutes.
Will Fitzgerald takes the ball in left footed, looks for
it's
the
great
head
great ball.
Mahanor McElroy
in.
It's in the net for Sligo Rovers.
It's in. Yeah.
The lead. And it's hard to
it's
know
a great ball.
In. But Sligo Rovers.
I think it's John Mahan.
Taking the lead. And yeah, John Mahan.
I think it is John Mahan.
And Sligo Rovers 2, Shamrock Rovers 1.
Great ball in by Fitzgerald. Really, really great ball in. You know, tempted the goalkeeper McGinty. He couldn't really come for it. A great finish from John Mann.
That's how Gavin Dykes and Ronan Flanagan describe Sligo Rovers 2 goals on Monday night in front of 4,000 fans. Sligo Rovers 2, Shamrock Rovers 1. And that victory has done plenty for the mood music around the showgrounds, as Rovers boss John Russell explained to Ocean FM Sport earlier today.
You have to win matches, and there were some good signs in the first couple of games, but ultimately we didn't get any results, didn't get any points on the board. And what was really pleasing was it was a home game on a Monday night with 4,000 in the ground, and against one of the best teams in the country, and to get a result, but also a performance. I think everyone went home happy, and it gives that belief and confidence to the group that we're on the right path, and hopefully we can just keep building now and start picking up some more points.
Yeah, I think 4,000 is the biggest Monday night crowd I can remember at the showgrounds for in recent seasons for Monday night fixtures. Is that an indication that maybe the fans were starting to appreciate what the team was doing in the early games?
Yeah, that was really pleasing for me as a manager, because you're a bit worried. You know, you don't get the results, you might get the rewards of what you feel, especially the first night at home to Waterford. It's definitely a game we left behind us. And then on the Friday, you know, you can feel sorry for yourself. You score 3 goals, miss a penalty away from home. But to get that backing, it just tells you an awful lot that the supporters are right behind this team and young group of players. And thankfully, the players were able to perform and get the results, and people went home happy.
And I know it's still very early in the season and the league is still sorting itself out, but when you look at the league table, the fact that the team you lost to on the opening night of the season are now top Waterford, it's maybe putting your early matches into some context?
It's so early, to be honest. I always feel it's the first round of games before you can start looking at the league table. And, you know, people can get carried away if you're down the bottom or at the top. So, look, there's so much change in terms of personnel and fitnesses, and pitches play a big part, I feel, early in the season. And, you know, there's mistakes and yeah, it takes a little while for things to settle down. But look, ultimately we just focus on what we can do at the moment, and that's gelling the group together, all these new players, and trying to pick up results. And what we did prove last season was that as the season went on, that we improved as a team, and we want to do the same again this year.
Just a word on Gareth McIlroy. I remember him last season in the televised match against Shamrock Rovers. He made one little error and it got a lot of attention at the time because it led to a goal, and you're wondering how a young fella will react to that. He seems to have reacted brilliantly coming back in and taking his chance in the last couple of games.
Yeah, he was superb, and I have so much time for Gareth. He's a great kid, really good mentality, and he's a player that has huge promise. You know, for a centre back, 6'4", can build from the back, but is aggressive in both boxes, really good on set plays as well. And with all these young players, you look at Owen Elding as well, he's broke into the team this year, he's starting games now, where he was on the fringes the last season or two. And Gareth made a big impact towards the end of the season when Nanda was sold, and that's the thing for me as a manager, leaving that spot or that place open for players in the academy to come up. But they've got to show what they're about, and Gareth definitely did last season, and he's done really well in the last two games.
What sort of guy is he, John? Like, is he one of these quiet dressing room figures, you know, looking towards John Mahan and Ollie Denham, or is he very much his own man? What sort of fella is he?
You know, Gareth's definitely his own man. He's a confident boy, and I think he's got really good leadership qualities. I would have seen that when he was playing in the academy. He's vocal on the pitch, and he's got a bit about him, Gareth, in fairness. And, you know, he's studying as well in the ATU, which shows you know, what type of guy he is, that he's looking at stuff outside of football as well. And some players, look, there's nothing wrong with that. They're fully focused on the football, but he's got a really good head and shoulders, and I think he's got a bright future.
Just a quick word about Cork then this Friday night. These games are coming thick and fast. You know, because the matches are fairly close together, will that affect who you can pick and who you need to give a rest to, even at this early stage of the season?
Yeah, you're always looking at managing the load of the players, and 3 games in a week is always tricky. You see Cork on Monday, there was one or two players came off injured in that game, and we knew even at the end of the Shamrock Rovers game ourselves on Monday, there was one or two players we made changes, and one or two were struggling towards the end of the game. So you're always mindful of that. With a small squad, you don't want to be picking up injuries. So yeah, we're definitely aware of that going into the game on Friday in terms of team selection, and also maybe changes within the game at certain moments. But we've got everyone available, which is good. And, you know, hats off to the medical team with Ray Finan and James O'Donnell and Tom French. They're doing incredible work in the background, and the players, they recover well and they're eating well. So hopefully we can just keep the players fit and fresh, and that gives you a good chance of winning matches.
I'm sure yourself and Ryan have been studying Cork. They've come back up from the First Division. There's a couple of old Rovers heads in amongst it as well. They look pretty decent this season.
Yeah, really impressed with what they've shown so far. I think their two home games, they've won one and drawn one, and probably were unlucky on Monday night. They could have went 2-0 up before half-time, and the red card changes the game second half and they concede late. So, look, they're in a good place. Team coming up from the First Division, but it's not really a team. You know, they're a big club, Cork, and Turner's Cross is always a difficult venue, and there'll be probably, I'd imagine, 5,000-6,000 at the game. So we know we're in for a tough night down there, but I've got huge belief in our group of players that we have, and we have to control what we can, and that's how we play in and out of possession. And if we can kind of bring our levels from Monday night into Friday, we'll give ourselves a good chance.
John Russell, the Sligo Rovers manager, on Cork City at Turner's Cross tomorrow night for the Bit of Red. In these early matches of this new League of Ireland season, you may have noticed another face in the Rovers dugout, particularly when Rovers are attacking or defending set pieces or corner kicks. Canadian Jesse Atchison has joined John Russell's backroom team for this League of Ireland campaign as Rovers' new set piece coach. Not every club has one, and Jesse's been explaining to Ocean FM Sport what his role is with the club this season and a little bit about his own footballing background.
So grew up playing multiple sports, so obviously football, hockey, a bit of basketball as well, and then was doing high level hockey, high level football, got into some concussions, so went full time into football. And then I had to stop playing at 17, and then got into coaching from there. So
you had to stop playing because of concussions?
Yeah, to stop from that. Doctors were telling me at 13, 14 I should stop, and then I ended up deciding to stop at 17. So
I'm just trying to imagine, as a 17-year-old, that must have been gutting news to get, where doctors are recommending to you, you've got to stop playing, you can't take more head injuries.
Yeah, it was at 13, 14 they started, and then I stopped hockey at that age, and then I decided at 17 that I had to stop because it was just too much, and felt like I wanted to make sure that for the rest of my life I was good. So obviously it was really disappointing. I wanted to be a professional player, but I also always knew I wanted to get into coaching. So once I was done playing, so it just kind of happened earlier than expected, but had to make that decision.
There aren't too many Irish clubs who have a dedicated set piece coach, and I suppose we think we know what that means, but you explain it to me, what you see your role as here.
So everything that has to do with dead balls, you know, free kicks, throw-ins, corners, all that, and just taking care of that, and the analysis part, and then delivering it in training and in games. So it's a big piece of modern football. A lot of goals are scored from set plays. It's around 30% of goals come from set plays. So it's a big part of the game, and it's something that's also very different than in open play. And yeah, just trying to focus on that and make sure that we're as good as possible.
Do you think teams don't spend enough time on set pieces and thinking about the impact they do have in a season?
Probably not. If you think about it, like 30% of goals come from set plays around. So if you're not training around 30% of the time on it, then there's a disconnect a little bit from the numbers. But at the end of the day, it's also something that does take a lot of time. There's not as much flow of it, so it's difficult to always put it into training. But yeah, just finding ways to be effective in training to get those in.
So whether it's an attacking free kick for Sligo Rovers or a corner kick or a defensive set piece, do you devise the play or is it collaborative?
It's a collaborative effort between the staff and even with the players. If they have ideas, then it's something that we work together on, and trying to make sure that we're all on the same page when we get on the field. So, yeah, super collaborative within the staff and the players.
But clearly you've developed a good working relationship with the manager, John Russell, and that's integral to this working.
Yeah, for sure. John's been really good, even with the conversations that we had. That's why I felt comfortable making that decision to come here. He's been really good. He's been really open, really good person. And also even in terms of our working relationship, I think has developed a lot. And for him to put all that time and that investment also into that area of the game, I think speaks volume to him and kind of what had happened last year with them and the analysis that they went through last year in their season. So yeah, it's been really good to work together, and we've had a really good relationship, and he's been really open and supportive. So
is the League of Ireland a big culture change for you?
Yeah, it's a big culture change. Excited to see what it looks like once the season actually kicks off. So that'll be exciting to see. I've only seen things on video and heard people speak, so it'll be cool to experience it in real time.
We had a Canadian here a couple of seasons ago, Chris Twardeck, so you're continuing a bit of a Maple Leaf tradition here at the Showgrounds.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be cool to kind of get the season underway and work towards our objectives this season.
That's Sligo Rovers' new set-piece coach this season, Jesse Atchison. He's in the dugout alongside John Russell and the team for the league matches, and that continues for Rovers tomorrow night at Turner's Cross when Cork City hosts Sligo Rovers at 7:45, and we'll bring you that game live. Compliments of Henry's Bar and Restaurant in Cashelgarn, open Wednesday to Sunday for lunch from 12 noon until 3 p.m. And on Saturday afternoon, the new women's SSE Airtricity League of Ireland season begins for Sligo Rovers and manager Steve Feeney, who's back for his second stint in charge. Rovers hosting Bohemians at the Showgrounds this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. and if you can't get to that game, it will be live in full here on Saturday Sports Beat with commentary from Tina Byrne and Oran Keating. That's Saturday at 3 o'clock. We're getting ready for the final of the 4x400 meters mixed relay on the opening night of the European Indoor Athletics Championships. Ireland in the 6-team final. They've been drawn in lane 2 alongside Spain, the Czech Republic, Belgium, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and the Netherlands. Will bring you the result of that before we finish. In rugby, Sligo Grammar School's bid to win a fourth consecutive Senior Schools Cup title remains on course. Today they beat Garbally College in Ballinasloe by 29 points to 10 to reach the final yet again. The story of the match comes from Kevin Egan.
Sligo Grammar School, 3-in-a-row Connacht School Senior Cup champions, will have a chance to extend that run out to 4 on Wednesday week in Ballinasloe Rugby Club, as they will play Marist College of Athlone in this year's final following their 29 points to 10 win over Garbally College this afternoon in Ballinasloe. It was a fully merited win for the away side, though at half-time, 14 points to 7, Sligo Grammar School leading, it looked like the game was in the balance, as a strong diagonal breeze was set to favour Garbally after the interval. It was the home side who had opened the scoring through a Joseph Smith try in conversion after 17 minutes. And while Sligo Grammar School replied with an up your jumper try in response, Cathal Moffat coming up with the ball underneath a sea of bodies, really they would have felt that they needed a bigger lead at half time. In part, a big reason why they didn't have it was because of brilliant work from Luke Manning at fullback for Garbally College. Wonderful work in one particular instance to hold up Mark Tempany when it looked like the centre had got over the line in the right corner. Dermot O'Connell did burst through two tackles and touchdown to make sure it was 14-7 at the break, but the Ireland international score looked like the least they would need. Tempany and Smith traded penalties early in the second half, but the Garbally kicker also missed two opportunities, while the Sligo Grammar School defence held firm. Long-range kicks from Garbally trying to gain territory didn't work out too well, as Ben Lawler Kerr was exceptional at full-back for Sligo Grammar. Eventually, Sligo Grammar School got the breakthrough score with 15 minutes to go to the end. Alistair Houston, who had an excellent game at flanker, He made a hard carry to set up good front foot possession, and the ball was whipped out through Andrew Ryan and Mark Tempany out towards winger Andrew Henson, Alistair's younger brother, and he showed an incredible turn of foot to dart over the line in the left corner. Garbley didn't really threaten a score in the final quarter, and eventually the win was sealed when Andrew Ryan leapt over the line in the right corner with Tempany adding the points to make it 29-10. It was a fully merited victory for Sligo Grammar School. They will now advance to meet Marist College on Wednesday week in Ballina. The final score here at Garbley was Sligo Grammar School 29 points, Garbley College of Ballinasloe 10 points.
And that was Kevin Egan reporting from Ballinasloe today. Let's hear from the Sligo Grammar coach, Will McCauley, on that win, which wasn't as easy as it looked, he claims, when he spoke to Kevin afterwards.
The Garbley are a very good outfit. They played very nice rugby. They kept us honest at the breakdown, some hard carries. We knew our back was against the wall, but the first half, I think it was three clear opportunities we let go. So I said to the boys at halftime, don't let that cost you. This game, they're going to come strong second half, so we've got to match it and accelerate beyond.
Conceding 3 points in the second half when they did have that wind advantage, that's a serious defensive showing.
I'll go back to the beginning of the season. We went three games out conceding. So that's the standard these boys are putting in for each other. It's remarkable to see.
I think a difference maker, both sides put in a lot of tackles, both sides got a lot of turnovers in the rucks and so on. I thought your kicking game was superior. They struggled to get any change out of your back three. You were fielding it, running back well. Your kicking game, you were putting them back a good few, you were gaining a lot of territory that way.
Oh yeah, back three, they're very good. Like, we've got plenty of other boys coming through who are challenging them as well. So it's hard selection, but the back three were very good today and they worked well. It's something we've been working on the last couple of weeks.
Anything you'd pick out as work-ons in advance of the Marist final?
Oh, I don't want to give anything away yet.
Will McCauley keeping his cards close to the chest for Sligo Grammar School, speaking to Kevin Egan after his side's 29 points to 10 victory in today's Connacht Senior Schools Cup A semi-final against Garbley. They'll play Marist College Athlone in the final on Wednesday the 19th of March. That's going to be played at Heffernan Park in Ballina. Remember, the Grammar have won the last three Senior Schools Cup. They're going for four in a row there, and we will keep you in touch with that. No joy earlier today in hockey for the Sligo Grammar School because the senior women's team were playing the Jez of Galway in the Palmer Cup final. This is hockey's Connacht Senior A Cup final, but the Jez winning that one by 3-0. So mixed fortunes on the school's sporting front for Sligo Grammar School today, but their rugby team continue to go from strength to strength. Let's bring you the final laps then of the 4x400 metres mixed relay final. Ireland in this final, they're out of the medals at the moment. Charlene Maudsley about to collect the baton to see if she can haul Ireland back into contention. But it does look a four-horse race and Ireland well out of it at this stage. The final lap underway, but Charlene Lamosley with a lot of ground to make up. And it looks like there's not going to be a medal there for Ireland in the 4x400 metres mixed relay. But remember, we do have the individual races for Lauren Cadden tomorrow morning. She runs in the heats of the 400 metres in the women's discipline tomorrow morning. And Mark English, shortly after 10 o'clock, will go in the first round heats of the men's 800 metres. Well, let's finish tonight by hearing from Tommy Kelly, a school friend of the late Tommy Gorman. He spoke at Tuesday night's Christy Moore concert in memory of the late Tommy Gorman. Tommy spoke to Niall Delaney at the concert at a packed Sligo Park hotel.
Well, I met Tommy Gorman for the first time in Summerhill. In 1969, we were in the first year in Summerhill together. We were in different classes and there was always rivalry. And I think my first real relationship with Tommy was a wrestling match in between the two classes on the floor. And Tommy claims I won. I never remember that at all because we were in the other class, the 102 class where Tommy was in. But that was the start of a great relationship. We had never had a blow. It was only a wrestling match on the floor. And so Tommy made it into a great bit of crack after that always. And then it went on from there, and as we went through school, we just became great friends. Tommy sort of had been a big border day boy rivalry type of thing. And I think people like Tommy started to change the world, and Tom Finnegan, who was president of Summerhill at the time. When we left Summerhill, we had an amazing, amazing bond with a number of the guys who were here tonight as well, that Tommy had sort of molded together in many ways, because in many ways he was responsible in Summerhill for a change of values and a new set of values of friendship. And I don't like using the word too often, love, but there was a lot of love and friendship and genuine relationships going on with guys to this day, including our 50th meeting.
So you stayed in touch over many, many years. Based in Munich in Germany, Tommy, is that
right? I am based in Munich in Germany, yeah. No, I've always had a touch, because whenever I came home, I pop up to Sligo when I'm Cairns Road in the early days, and then out in Lisheen, and was in touch. I was proud to be Moya's godfather later on, and Tommy was my best man at my wedding, and so we had a relationship going on all the time. And even if we didn't see each other for months and maybe a year sometimes, and that it never ever faded, and it was been part of Tommy's family in a way. It was like in this bigger family. It was, yeah, I can't describe it, because it was pals. We used to call it pals. See ya, pal, was what Tommy would always sign off on and stuff like that after we'd been through the news.
Well, yeah. What you said on stage before the concert tonight was very humorous, very touching, very personal, and you can see that from the reaction you got.
Well, I mean, really, most of it are quotes from Tommy and the times we had together. I suppose it started off, I remember reading Michael Gorman's poem. I must be over 30 years ago I got it. And this poem described like no other thing I've ever had in front of me, Sligo, and the characters and the fun and the crack and the flicks and the dive and the whole character. I've never ever read a poem about football that had the same type of integrity in it and street cred. And I suppose that was really the only part that I pulled out, you know. And the more I read the poem, the more I said, this is Tommy. Because Tommy was all about that type of love to football and Sligo characters, and he knew them all, and he could name them all, and with respect, you know, and with a dignity, and with genuine interest in all of these people. And then, that was it, yeah.
Sadly, you missed so, Tommy.
Oh, look it, we're still heartbroken, and it's unbelievable, and an awful lot of people, and a lot of people here tonight will continue to miss Tommy. But I think there was a lot of healing going on tonight as well. The concert was amazing, you know. I mean, old friends of Tommy's and ours, Shamie, and that, bringing it together, and Christy, who Tommy always talked about, Christy, and where he'd bumped into him, and it was only a word ever. It was never about exchange of privacies. It was only, you know, that you're in touch and all of that, you know. So,
Sligo native Tommy Kelly, now living in Munich, remembering his Sligo pal, the late Tommy Gorman, at Tuesday night's Christy Moore concert, A Song for Tommy, at a packed Sligo Park hotel. We've got Cork City against Sligo Rovers live for you tomorrow night from 7:45. Sligo Rovers women against Bowes on Saturday from 3:00. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your pods. Search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.